Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We're the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Chris.
Hello, Jonathan.
I am here today with Carmella.
Hello, boys.
And I am here today with Chris.
Hello.
Y'all thought you were going to hear Chris again, didn't you? You did hear Chris, but it was a different Chris. Chris Haith is here with us today. Am I pronouncing your name right, Chris?
That is correct.
Awesome. Chris is a major in the Trivial Warfare Army.
Woohoo! Thank you, Major Haith.
Salute.
Well, my wife is a captain, so I had to outrank her. I didn't want to be emasculated.
Your family is a double family? That's outstanding.
Yeah. Because he signed up recently, she had signed up a while back. I had actually reached out to her first because I'm trying to go roughly in order to bring people on that signed up earliest. And she's like, I can't do it, but I think my husband can. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
That's awesome.
She's a wedding photographer, so she's actually out of town today, so she couldn't do it today. This has pretty much been her busy month. And speaking of, you're talking about being a good husband, we have decorations, EAT, in the kitchen downstairs. And since she's gone all the time, she doesn't know this yet. She'll find out Monday. I changed it to ETA, just so, like, when are you going to get home? Because she's usually late getting back sometimes.
So you're in Kentucky, and she's correct. A wedding photographer. If we have any listeners in Kentucky who are getting married, is there a website they should go to?
Yes, it's jessicaandsarahweddings.com.
jessicaandsarahweddings.com is the place to go if you want to get some awesome wedding pictures done by Jessica Haith, Chris's wife.
Appreciate that.
Awesome. All right, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollister. Mr. Haith and Mr. Hollister today is what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah, you're going to be struggling a little bit, aren't
probably
you?
Probably so. So, Mr. Hollister.
Yes.
You introduced some new people to the show.
I did.
Recently.
Well, as a matter of fact, as you guys know, a couple episodes ago, I was out, and the reason for it was we went down and saw my dad for the weekend, and on the way down, we actually picked up my nephews, and my nephews went with Angie and I to go down to see the dad, exactly. So while we're down near Tampa where Pops lives, I was telling my oldest nephew, Caleb, about the show, and I was like, yeah, we actually have a podcast, and this blew his mind. He was like, you guys podcast? Well, one, I was kind of surprised that an 11-year-old knows what a podcast is, but he knows so much about the online world. He wants to be a computer programmer when he grows up, and it's stuff that excites him. And I said, yeah. He's like, well, do you do it? I said, well, no, my best friend Jonathan, you've met him before, does it, and I'm on the show from time to time, and I helped him create the show. And he's like, oh, wow, that sounds great. And I said, would you like to listen to an episode? He's like, yeah, let me listen to it. And I said, okay, well, when we're on the way back, it's about 3.5 hours. We'll play the show for you. So I was racking my brain which episode to play for him because I wanted him to be able to maybe answer a few questions right. It's a little tough and stuff like that.
And you wanted to look good.
And I wanted to look good. Exactly right. I wanted an episode that I won in.
Yes.
And then I remember.
I mean, there was hard to find.
Because you're a good uncle.
Them.
Thank you. Exactly right. I don't want him to look down on me like, oh, there's my uncle, the loser. Anyway, and I remember the comic book episode because the comic book episode made me look really good thanks to John Finn. And then also, I figured he knew a lot of the stuff in there because he really likes comic books a lot. So we're playing in it, and I forgot when I was trying to think back in the library of episodes that I called Todd McFarlane a not so nice name.
What did you call him?
Okay, get ready for your bleeping time. I called him an hat. I called him a donkey hat. That's correct. Because I'm not a fan of his personality. And what they heard on the show was beep hat. Beep. And so Caleb goes, Uncle Chris.
What's a beep hat?
Why did they beep you? And then all of a sudden, my wife just looks over at me because I'm driving and she's in the passenger seat and starts hitting me in the arm. And I'm like, ow, stop that. And he's like, Uncle Chris, why did you get beeped out?
And why is your wife hitting you?
And I said, well, Caleb, Uncle Chris said probably a not very nice word. And all of a sudden, it got quiet and he was just like, Uncle Chris, you said a bad word? You never say bad words. Why did you say the bad word? I was just like...
Because you really don't like talking
before. He wanted to sound like a tough guy. Yeah.
So anyway, but it was just hysterical that I think I've been beeped maybe 3 times on the show at most for all the ones that I've been on, and I picked the one that was
I make up for worthy. You.
Yes, you do. Wow. And I appreciate that. So yes. However, we do have a very young listener by the name of Caleb Baker that really likes the show, and he desperately wants to be on, which I had to say, no way, you're not good enough yet.
Caleb, if you're listening, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yep, we will.
Yeah, I'll definitely crush his dreams while he's young, right?
That's exactly right.
Get him while they're young.
All right, well, Chris.
Yes, sir.
It's time to warm it up.
All right. What up, Chris?
All right. So once again, our Warm It Up Chris segment this week is sponsored by SpendLittleTravelBig.com. Remember, if you have some travel that you're planning to do this year, let our friends over at SpendLittleTravelBig help you out. Remember, they're warheads just like you, and they are experts at beating advertised fares as well as helping you to maximize your travel points. These guys are awesome at planning amazing exotic trips for you and keeping your itinerary super convenient. Be sure to ask them about their special negotiated rates to Disney's deluxe resorts in LA, Orlando, and Oahu. And remember, if you're going to travel, spend little, travel big, will make it easier, cheaper, nicer, and just plain better. That's a promise. No take backs. Check them out at SpendLittleTravelBig.com. All right, Chris, let's get this thing going.
All right, so this is a listener-submitted Warm It Up Chris question. And as a matter of fact, it came in yesterday, and I
from
liked it.
Chris Have.
No, as a matter of fact, it did not. But I liked it so much, I bumped it to the head of the class.
Oh.
Yes. This is from Andrew Brown.
All right.
And he's actually written quite a few, and but he's asked a couple of them that we've already asked before. But this one was beautiful. One of my favorite movies is Aladdin. And as a matter of fact, like one of my favorite. There you go. One of Andrew's favorite movies is Aladdin as well. And he asked, in the Disney movie Aladdin, Genie makes 14 celebrity impressions. Can you name them?
Wow, that's a cool question.
I know a lot of them.
So I loved it. And so we're going to go ahead and go round robin. If you miss it twice, you're out. And we're going to try to do as many of the 14 as we can. Chris, I don't know how familiar you are with the movie Aladdin, but I'm going to let you
Never
go
seen
first.
It.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure the genie is played by the late Robin Williams did his voice, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just basically going off of what impressions I knew that Robin Williams did. So I'm going to assume he's somewhat incorporated into the movie. I'm guessing Ronald Reagan. That's just a guess.
Okay. Ronald Reagan, I'm sorry, is not on the list, but you'll get a second chance in a bit. So
I'm starting off great.
You're going to get multiple chances to be wrong on this question.
Well, no, actually, it's 2 and you're out in this one. So,
oh.
Yes.
Oh. So,
Jonathan, you're up.
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan is on the list. Well done. Carmella.
You got to be a straight shooter. Do you got it? Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson is on the list.
I've written like 3 down. She already took one of them out.
All right. Chris, hearing some of those, maybe it helped you.
John Wayne.
John Wayne, I'm sorry, buddy. You're out of the game right now.
I'm off to a rocking start, brother.
Hey, since you didn't see this movie, you've done all right so far. So, Jonathan, what do you got for us?
I really wish I knew the guy's name. There's one where he gets this British accent. It's like, a couple of provisos, quid pro quo. But I don't know who that guy is, which is a shame. Oh, but I do know Rodney Dangerfield.
Dang it.
Which I just thought of.
Rodney Dangerfield on
he
the
He yanks
list.
His collar. He's like, no respect, I tell you.
Yeah.
Carmella, you're up.
He took my answer. Does he do Bela Lugosi? Bela Lugosi.
I'm sorry, Bela Lugosi's not on the list. Mr. Oaks.
Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx is on the list. All right, Carmella, pressure's on.
Yeah, now I can't think of any. I'm really upset about Rodney Dangerfield.
How dare you take her answer?
I do it to him all the time.
Man,
though.
That was so good. That was the best feeling.
I have no idea. I'm going to give up.
Really?
Oh.
All right, so Jonathan wins the round, 3-1.
I would have had Arsenio Hall.
Correct.
He definitely does a ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh. Oh, yeah, he did do that one.
And I kind of think he might have done Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger on the list. Yeah. Well done.
That's the last I have. I don't have any more after that.
Okay, so the 14 are Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ed Sullivan, Groucho Marx, William F. Buckley.
Is that the quid pro quo guy?
Yes, yeah. Senior Wences.
I don't know
that. Sodite. That one where he did the hand.
Yeah.
Movement. Okay. Robert De Niro.
He did do Robert De Niro.
Carol Channing.
Okay. Did he do? Did he do Charlie Chaplin?
He did not do Charlie Chaplin. Not at least not with this particular list that he's talking about. So Arsenio Hall, Walter Brennan, Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight, Ethel Merman, Rodney Dangerfield, Jack Nicholson, and then Peter Lorre, who is a Rat Pack guy.
So. Robert De Niro would have been the only other one I would have gotten.
Yeah, actually, I named all the ones that I think I would have known.
I thought I would have known more, honestly, because like I said, it's my favorite Disney movie.
All right. Are you guys ready to get rolling?
I'm ready. Chris, sure. How are you ready?
I'm good to go, brother.
All right. So the game today is going to be Chris. And Chris, it is the CNC Music Factory C squared going up against little old Carmella.
Why do I have to be little old Carmella?
I'm going
to
call you little red riding hair today.
She's not old by any stretch, so it's little young Carmella.
Little young Carmella.
I'll be a little older soon.
Little red Corvette.
There you go.
All right. So it's time to play the game. Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started. Round 1, question 1. Your category is music.
Music!
What well-known song was featured in both the movie Big with Tom Hanks, along with the theme song from the Jetsons?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I certainly can. What well-known song was featured in both the movie Big with Tom Hanks, along with the theme song from the Jetsons?
Don't look at me. You're not on my team.
I know. I haven't seen Big since I was a kid.
All right, Chris, I got an answer, but I want to talk to you about it.
I think I have one as well, so okay. We'll talk it out.
Hopefully it will match up and it'll be an easy.
And we'll be right.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have an answer. So.
You sure?
Yep, I'm sure.
Okay. CNC Music Factory, what are you thinking?
All right, the very, very, very famous scene on the piano is Chopsticks.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
That was the only thing that came into my head.
Yeah, when the piano to where he and the owner of the toy store or whatever, that 20-foot piano to where they play with their feet, they play Chopsticks.
So you want to lock in Chopsticks?
Yeah, lock it in. I'm good with that.
Locked in.
So the famous scene on the piano was the song that goes, dun, 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 da, 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 dun, 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 dun. But then at the very end of it, they do this. Dun, 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 dun. It is Chopsticks.
Yes.
Nice.
In the Jetsons song, it's just a tiny little bit. It goes, and Jane, his wife. Dun, 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 dun.
I don't remember that part of the scene at all, but I remember Chopsticks.
All right. Question 2. Your category is pop culture. Bebop and Rocksteady are minor characters in what fictional franchise?
Locked in.
Okay, I was going to say, Chris, you know this too, don't you?
Is it Cowboy Bebop? That's the only thing I can think of.
No, Bebop and Rocksteady are villains in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
And I'm 100% positive on that. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I said Lock Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The answer is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
They are the pig thing and the rhino thing, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep, yep.
All right, question 3. Your category is advertising. What company encouraged you to put a tiger in your tank? And because of age and mergers and whatnot, there are multiple versions of this answer that I will accept.
I'll lock in.
All right.
Chris, the first answer I had on the top of my head was Exxon.
Yeah, ExxonMobil. They have a tiger. Do they still use a tiger?
I don't think they do, but I thought it was the Exxon Tiger because doesn't Exxon have like the stripes and then they had like the stripes on the Tiger or something like that?
I'm pretty sure they do, or did at least, but I'm pretty confident you're right that it is Exxon.
Okay. C Square is locking in with Exxon.
Carmela, what did you say?
I think they're called Exxon Mobil now, but I said Exxon.
The correct answer starts as Humble Oil, then become Inco, then become Esso, and finally became Exxon.
Nice.
Exxon is the correct answer.
I've never heard of a Humble Oil. There's no
they
such thing as...
They came from humble beginnings.
Oh, there's no such thing as an oil company being humble anymore.
Well, that's why it was in the beginning.
Mm.
In the beginning. After the first round, it is 30-20 in C Squared's favor. Round two, question one. Your first category is in movies.
Okay. All right.
What is the name of the object of Nicolas Cage's affection in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds? And I am not talking about Angelina Jolie.
Locked in.
You enjoyed that part of the question, didn't you?
I wrote it.
All right. Have you seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yes, and I'm pretty sure he's talking about the, I believe it's a 67 Mustang Shelby Fastback Eleanor. Yeah. And I cried when they crashed that car in the movie. But that's a beautiful car. But I'm almost positive it's Eleanor.
The funny part is I've never seen the movie because I'm not a big Angelina Jolie fan and I'm not a very big Nicolas Cage fan at all. However, I know that the answer is Eleanor for one reason only, and that's because of our sponsorship with the wonderful people at Loot Crate.
Really?
Because they did a Need for Speed box last month, and what was one of the items? A replica of Eleanor the car.
You are kidding.
I am not kidding. So I want to lock in with Eleanor if you're good with that too.
Lock it in.
All right.
Carmela, what did you say?
I was also very sad when they crashed Eleanor in the movie.
The correct answer is Eleanor.
Thank
well
you.
Done, guys.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
And if you are interested in getting a Loot Crate box like Chris, you can go to lootcrate.com/TWA and sign up with the coupon code TWA for a 15% discount off of your first box.
Loot
totally
Crate.
Unintentional. Product
sure.
placement.
But awesome.
That was well done. All right, round two, question two. Your category is literature.
Literature.
Well done.
Thank you.
John Updike has won two Pulitzer Prizes for fiction for books with what animal in the title? Just to be clear, they were two different prizes for two different books that had the same animal in the title.
I really don't know. I'm not sure, at least, but I'm locked in.
All right. Chris, do you have any ideas?
The only thing I could think of, didn't he write the Curious George books?
No, I don't think he – I'm pretty sure he didn't. I can't
– Okay. So I've got nothing.
For some reason, and I have no rhyme or reason on this at all, pig was in my head. I'm really not confident in the answer at all, but at least it's an animal. So, I mean, if you want to do like monkey or ape, I mean, I'm okay with it. But like I said, the only thing that came in my head was pig.
I'm going to go with your judgment on this one because I have no idea.
All right. Our very bad guess then is pig locked in.
All right. Carmela.
That made me think of Animal Farm.
Maybe that's where it's in my head from.
All animals are created equal, just some are more equal than others. I said dog.
Dog and pig. Sounds like the Chinese zodiac over here.
Moose and squirrel.
The correct answer. John Updike wrote the Rabbit Angstrom series. It is rabbit.
Oh, also, wow. Chinese zodiac. I'm a
yes.
rabbit.
Rabbit is rich and rabbit at rest were the two Pulitzer winners.
No, had no idea.
Rule of thumb. If you ever get a John Updike question, the answer is going to be rabbit.
Good to know.
You putting right. that in your next guide?
Yes. We're rounding out round two with science.
Science!
Science!
What P word was defined?
Really?
What P word is defined as a series of wave-like muscle contractions that moves food to different processing stations in the digestive tract?
That's a lot of question.
Here we go.
I'm so sorry for laughing a bit ago because all I have to say is, whoa.
What P word is defined as a series of wave-like muscle contractions that moves food to different processing stations in the digestive tract?
Chris, if you have any idea what the answer is, just write it down and lock it in and Carmela talk it out because I've got no clue. I've got less than no clue. Maybe poop.
It's the poop mover process. Carmela's resting her head against her pop filter.
Man, it only took
poop is what I have.
I'm not sure if it's because I'm not sure if it was the poop mover or if it's just the question in general.
It only took 5 questions.
Also, yes. I'm just going to write down this word. So it starts with P, but I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with it. So,
all right.
Chris, you got anything?
I don't know if it's a P word, but I don't know. Maybe something like predestination or predigestion, or I don't even know if those are words or not, but it sounds scientific.
Yeah, well, predestination is theological.
I was about to say, you are predestined for your food to move from one stage to the other, yes.
Yeah, so I got no idea, but I don't like tapping out. I just like giving answers. So I'm going to say, if you're okay with it, I'm going to say pooper and final answer.
Really? Go for it.
All right.
Because
pooper.
That. Well, there we go.
Carmela?
I said petrichor.
Petrichor. All right.
Yeah, like pooper wasn't any better.
Pooper wasn't any better. The correct answer is peristalsis.
Yeah, no idea.
Peristalsis is the process. You get food, you swallow it, and then your body kind of takes over and pushes it all the way out through the end of the process. That whole process is called peristalsis. All right. Nobody got any points there. So at the end of the second round,
10 points for Jonathan.
It is 40 for C squared to 30 for Carmella.
Stupid chopsticks.
Moving into round 3.
And the funny part is Carmella taught me how to use chopsticks.
I did. I taught him how to use actual chopsticks. Mm-hmm.
Your category for question 1 is the Olympics.
Okay.
What 1912 gold medalist in the decathlon from the United States is reported to have said, "Thanks, King," when Gustav V of Sweden told him he was the greatest athlete in the world?
Chris, I'm about 99.9% sure I know the answer. So.
Me too.
Okay, so we'll talk about it in a second then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if y'all were nice, you would lock it in and let her talk.
Well, if I could read his mind, I'd absolutely do it.
You said 99.9. That sounds like you're more like 80 then.
So, Olympics, not really my thing.
Are you not a fan?
I mean, it's not that I'm not a fan, I just don't really pay a whole lot of attention to him most of the time. World Cup, that I'm good with.
I did intentionally move away from the 4 major sports.
Well, that was nice of you. I appreciate that. All right, I'm locked in.
All right, the first name that came to my head was Jim Thorpe.
Yeah, I used to live in Pennsylvania, and there's a town that has a really good St. Paddy's Day celebration. It's named after Jim Thorpe. He was from Oklahoma, I believe, but they buried him in Pennsylvania. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was Native American. They're really racist towards Native Americans back then, more so than today, I guess. But I'm 99.9% positive it's Jim Thorpe, because he was also known as the greatest athlete ever for a long time.
So our final answer is Jim Thorpe.
All right. Carmella, what did you say?
I said Moore.
Moore. Mm-hmm. Correct answer. Jim Thorpe.
Yes.
Yes. That was the sound of Chris celebrating with a clicky pen.
Here's my sad clicky pen.
Round 3, question 2. Your category is mythology.
Oh boy.
What wife of Jason kills her own children to get revenge on her husband for choosing to leave her for another woman? What wife of Jason kills her own children to get revenge on her husband for choosing to leave her for another woman?
I don't think this is the right answer, but it won't leave my head, so I've written something down.
All right, Carmella's locked in.
Chris, you got any ideas?
I don't know if it's right. But for some reason, the name Deidre comes to mind. I don't know why. I have no basis for it. But for some reason, that's the name that's coming to mind.
Okay, I have no earthly idea, so I'd like to go with your answer. So if you can go ahead and lock it in, that'd be great.
It's a shot in the dark at best.
All right, Carmella.
I'm stuck on P words, so I said Penelope.
Penelope. Odysseus's wife, maybe. Wasn't that Penelope?
Maybe. I might have them confused.
I thought Persephone.
That's
Hades' wife.
That's Hades' wife.
Jason's wife. You might have heard her name recently in Tyler Perry movies.
Medea?
Medea.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Medea is the woman who killed her own children to get revenge at Jason.
Man, another 10 points for Jonathan.
Did we have done with Mrs. Argonaut?
Yeah, Mrs.
Argonaut. Mr. and Mrs. Argonaut, yes.
Man, on that Mrs. Jason and the Golden Fleece.
That question was another one for Jonathan.
All right, we're going to round out round three with a music question. In Paul Simon's song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, how many different men are named? I will give you 2 bonus points if you can name them all. So, in Paul Simon's song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, how many different men are named? And 2 bonus points if you can name them all.
I'm locked in.
All right. Carmela says she's locked in.
All right. So, Chris, I think I've heard this question before, and I think the answer is 7. But the problem is I'm only coming up with 6 names. What are you thinking on it?
I was thinking it was either 7 or 8. So since you're confident with 7, I say we go with 7.
I didn't say I was confident. I just said I remember this question before, and I believe it's 7. So I want to make sure that's clear.
I can't remember any of the names, though, but I'm thinking it's 7, maybe 8. But if you like 7, we can go with 7.
Okay, because the 6 names I got was Jack, Stan, Roy, Gus, Gene, and Lee. Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't mean to be – oh, wait, no. Just sit in the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. Don't mean to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. Don't mean to discuss Mus. And then I think Lee and Gene are in the last part of it, and I can't remember it. But we're going to go ahead and lock in with 7.
All right. Carmela, what did you say?
But not the bonus.
He was listing off all those names. I'm like, what, no Tom, Dick, or Harry? I had said 5.
You said 5.
Yeah.
Correct answer. Well, did you name them, by the way?
No, I had no names for you.
Okay. Correct answer? 5.
Whoa.
What? Wow.
Unless I made a mistake, we could double check.
I would like that to be double checked.
We can double check. Okay. I have Head Out the Back, Jack. Make a New Plan, Stan. No Need to Be Coy, Roy. Hop on the Bus, Gus. No Need to Discuss Much. Listen to Me, Lee, and Set Yourself Free. I don't have a Gene. Nope, it is 5. There is no Gene.
Okay. All right. Very good, Carmela. Well
Yay,
done.
Yay, I got
one. It's actually
one.
A pretty short song. It's 2 verses and 2 choruses. Well, 3 choruses, man. Again. All right, good job, Carmela.
Thank you.
Well done. It's a shame you didn't name them.
Yeah. Wasn't feeling very confident in my answer, so I was like, I'll just say 5.
At the end of the third round, it is 50-40 with CNC Music Factory in the lead.
All right. Wow, this thing's flying by.
All right, your midpoint. Category is movie quotes.
Okay.
This is how this is going to work. I'm going to read short quotes from 4 different comedies. I want you to name the movie that goes with each quote. Here we go. First quote. Monkey's brains, though popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not often found in Washington, D.C. Your second quote. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Number 3. How'd you get the beans above the Frank? I don't know. It wasn't like it was a well-thought-out plan. And number 4, you know, somewhere out there are 4 terrible fathers I wish I could thank for this great night.
Chris, I got 2 and 3 locked in. 1 and 4 I'm working on.
Okay, I got 1 locked in. It's 4 that I'm struggling with right now. I have 2 and 3 also, but you don't have to worry about 1.
I think I have an idea what 4 is, but we could talk it out.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, I'm locked in.
Okay.
Carmela is locked in. All right, Chris's.
All right, so number 1 is Clue, and I know that 100%. 2, I had Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3, There's Something About Mary.
Right.
Is it the Franks or is it the Beans?
How'd you get the beans above the Frank? Anyway.
But then there's 4, and that's when my happiness stopped. Because can you repeat number 4 for us again, please, sir?
I can.
Okay, sorry about that.
You know, somewhere out there are 4 terrible fathers that I wish I could thank for this great night.
I've heard that before, and for some reason, the movie Ted comes to mind because that's very something very Seth MacFarlane type humor, and for some reason, the movie Ted comes to mind. I'm not positive about it, but that sounds like something that was in that movie.
You know,
that's all I got.
I don't have a better answer, and I've never seen the movie. So, except for the only thing I know about the movie is that Flash Gordon's in it, which is awesome.
Ah!
Thank you. So, I'm good with going with Ted on that one. All right.
All right. So, what are your 4 answers?
So, 1 is Clue, 2 is Animal House, 3 is There's Something About Mary, and then 4 is Ted.
Okay. Carmela, what do you have?
So I really only knew one and three. So one, I said Clue. Two, had no idea. So I said Tommy Boy. Three was something about Mary. And again, four, had no idea. So I said The Hangover.
All right. Your answers are Clue. That was Tim Curry saying that line. Yep. To Mrs. Peacock, if yes. I'm not mistaken. Animal House. I believe it was the Dean talking to Bluto.
Dean Warmer.
Something About Mary. That literally, I saw that scene. I saw that movie in a theater. That's probably the hardest I've laughed at anything ever.
Your sides hurt, didn't it?
That was so out of bounds for that was the first new wave raunchy comedy, and I was hurting.
You will never listen to the Carpenters the same after watching that scene in that movie.
I also saw that movie in the theaters when it first came out. Now, of course, I was quite young, and I saw it with my parents, and I don't think they knew. I don't think my mom and my dad knew, and I'm just like, okay.
Like, y'all get to the scene in the rest area, yeah, and they're still trying to hold it together.
The only time was more awkward than that was watching the second Matrix movie in the living room with my parents during the temple scene where they're all dancing and all that other stuff.
I don't remember the naked dancing and then the sex scene with Neo and Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't want to be in this room.
So, guys, I'm going to leave right now. I don't want any part of this with y'all.
Thanks.
Your fourth answer, Ted.
Yes, Chris. Well done, man. Nice. Woo.
Yes, my wife will be proud of my debauchery for now.
All right. After the midpoint, it is 70 to 50. And before we move on to round four, guys, I want to tell you, the Trivial Warfare Army apparel store is now open. That's right. I've been designing a couple of t-shirts over the last week, and I have opened them up to the public now. You can find them at teespring.com/stores/trivial-warfare-apparel. That's teespring.com/stores/trivial-warfare-apparel. We have two new designs out there. Both designs feature a small version of our logo on the front left breast pocket area. There's no pocket, but that's where it is. And on the back, you have two designs to choose from. One says, it's not just trivia, it's war. The other says, science! So you can take your pick if you want a it's not just trivia, it's war shirt or a science shirt. And if you want, there's also our original design, which is our logo in a full large size on the front chest of a standard t-shirt. They're all in black. They all look really good. I'm really proud of them. I'm happy with them. The store is going to be open until December 8th. Shipping will take about 2 weeks once you order them. So I encourage you to go check them out. If you want to get it in before Christmas, it'd be a good idea to order now. The shirts are primarily $19.99, and there is a women's V-neck in both designs that is $21.99 because of a little bit of extra cost on the design part there. So I hope you guys enjoy them. Be sure to head over to teespring.com/stores/trivial-warfare-apparel. All right, back to the show. Round four, question one. Your category is famous names. One was a gold medalist in figure skating. The other was a fictional character that was afraid of Miss Gulch, who wanted to abscond with her dog. Who are these well-known folks that share a first name? I will read it again. One was a gold medalist in figure skating. The other was a fictional character that was afraid of Miss Gulch, who wanted to abscond with her dog. Who are these well-known folks that share a first name? I want two names.
They don't share a name? You want two different names?
They share a first name.
Okay.
I want two full names as my answer.
Oh.
You can't just tell me the shared name.
Okay, I'm
so
locked
they
in.
Share the same first name, two different last names, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Carmela says she's locked in.
Okay. The first thing that came to my mind, Chris, was Nancy Kerrigan and Nancy Drew. But I think Nancy Kerrigan won the silver medal in the very, very famous Olympics where Tonya Harding goons hit her leg and with the pipe. The why? Why?
Too soon.
That's mean.
It was mean.
It's how she sounded. I'm sorry. I was not trying
more
to
like, why? It's more like that.
I was really not
still
trying.
Still to- really mean. What's wrong not, with you?
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say what happened.
I was trying
it was
to
almost
mean.
As dramatic as Darth Vader's no at the end of episode 3.
No!
Frankenstein's Vader!
Franken Vader smash! Anyway, so I really, but that's really the closest I've come up with because I was trying to think of, I mean, I really don't know that many gold medal figure skaters, to be very no, honest.
The only ones, Katarina Witt and Christy Yamaguchi are really the only two that I can think of. Maybe, was it Debbie something back in like the 70s or Peggy?
Oh, Peggy Peggy Lee or Peggy Lipton? No, I think it was Peggy Lee. No,
Peggy Lee, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Kerrigan did win the gold.
I was really trying to figure it out through a second clue because I figured that would be the way to get it. And I'm not. If you're okay with it, we'll go ahead and go with that. But if you have, I mean, unless you have a better answer, I'm happy to go with it.
I do not.
All right, Jonathan, our final answer is going to be Nancy Kerrigan as the skater and then Nancy Drew as the literary figure.
All right.
So I thought Miss Gulch was the woman from the beginning of The Wizard of Oz who keeps saying that she's going to take Dorothy's dog. And the only, so I said Dorothy Gale for the fictional character. There's only one Olympian I can think of with the name Dorothy, and that was Dorothy Hamill. So I said Dorothy Hamill and Dorothy Gale.
Well done, Carmella. That's
I just started getting
right.
Tingly inside. The correct answer is Dorothy Hamill and Dorothy Gale.
Well done. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Nice work.
That's my favorite question in the set, by the way. I'm so... Oh, that was awesome.
Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, is Dorothy Hamill a figure skater or was she a gymnast?
No, I'm trying to think if I would have thought of Gale. I mean,
it took me... You know what? Yeah. How I got to Gale? There was a miniseries called The Tin Man. And the main character, her name was DG, and she was named after Dorothy Gale. So I'm sitting here trying to remember, like, what is her other name? And then it was Gale. So.
Gotcha. Very nice. Well done.
All right. Round 4, question 2. We're going to go into a history swing here. You're going to get 3 straight history questions.
Okay.
All right.
Your first question is in medieval history. Where did Richard III meet his death soon after offering his kingdom for a horse? At least, that's the way Shakespeare tells it.
In a country or...
No, I need the actual site, which is also the name of the battle. So there's a hint for you.
You so went Jeopardy on that question, dude. That is a very Jeopardy-style question.
Thank you.
Or at least that's the way Shakespeare tells
that's
it.
Exactly right. That last part was just like, dang, they're going to sue you for stealing their material, mister.
I think I have an answer, Chris.
Okay. That's such a compliment. You have no idea.
I'm not sure of the answer, so if you want to lock it in, I trust you, and then we'll let Carmella talk it out.
Well, I'm not sure of it yet, so I figure we could talk it out. I got two.
Sorry, Carmella, I mean, I tried.
You know what really sucks is within the last few months, I read a book called The Plantagenets by Dan Jones, and it's about that whole line of royalty, and he goes into Richard III, and I'm trying to remember, but that book is also about that thick.
And by that thick, she made about 2 inches out of from her hand. So it's a large book is what Carmella's trying to say.
It's a very large book. I don't think it's right, but it won't leave my head. So, I have written down an answer.
Okay. Chris, what were you thinking?
Richard III was killed by a crossbow bolt by I believe it was a cook or a water boy or something like that, just got a lucky shot and got him. And I'm pretty sure it was outside of castle, and for some reason, Hastings and Agincourt both come to mind. It wasn't France or maybe... was it Burgundy, that area of France, northern France? But for some reason, the Battle of Hastings. But I'm pretty sure that was in England, I think. Agincourt comes to mind also.
Okay, because I'll be honest with you. At the 11th hour, after I tried to give up and you said, hold on, to talk about it, I wrote down the Battle of Hastings.
Okay.
And no rhyme or reason. It just – but I remember having a conversation, I believe it was with Jonathan and Ben a few weeks ago or something like that on the Battle of Hastings. I don't know if it was about Richard III or if it was something else. but I think yeah, it was a timeline thing.
I came up with Hastings and Agincourt, and you came up with Hastings. So I don't know, common denominator, go with Hastings.
All right, that sounds good to me. All right, so Hastings locked in.
It was a crossbolt, like, but it was some kitchen boy that did it. I do remember that. You said Agincourt, and I immediately started to second guess myself, but I also said Hastings.
So I have to do a lot of correcting right now, just because of facts. Hastings was Harold II.
Okay.
That was William the Conqueror and Harold. That was about 400 years too early.
1215.
Yeah. As soon as I wrote it down, I was like, no, that's not going to be it, but it's the only one I could think of.
Richard III is in the War of the Roses, mm-hmm. which was in the 1400s. He died in a battle, not by an arrow. By the way, the arrow to the head, that's a myth. That didn't actually happen. That became a myth because they showed him on a tapestry with an arrow in his head. Richard III died in a battle, and he died at the Battle of Bosworth Field. Wow. Bosworth Field is the correct answer.
Okay. Yeah, and they just found his body or his bones like underneath a parking lot.
Under a parking lot, back. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How do they know it was his, though?
Testing.
It had a label.
I figured it's
here lies Richard the Third.
Don't you burn your tombstone.
You know, that's actually what Big Yellow Taxi was about. You know, they paved over his grave and put up a parking lot.
His grave used to be called Paradise.
Laugh it up, fuzzballs.
All right.
I'm sorry about that, Chris. I had the Richards confused.
No, you're good, man. Well, you saw how far off I was, so don't worry about it.
All right, round four, question three. This is your second history. This one's just regular, flat-out history. Who was the king of France that was executed for treason by guillotine during the French Revolution in 1793? Let me say it better like this. Which king of France was executed for treason by guillotine during the French Revolution of 1793?
Locked in.
Okay, we'll go last name and say Louis.
That's not a last name. You'd be wrong.
All right.
I think it's the 16th or 17th. Louis the 16th?
Yeah, I had 16th written down. I'm not comfortable with the answer at all. I didn't know if they went as far as 17. I know they didn't make it into the 20s for sure. But how are you feeling about 16th?
I'm good with that.
All right. Louis the 16th then. Final answer.
All right.
All right. I knew it was a Louis. And I kept going through Louis the 14th, the 15th, or the 16th. And I said Louis the 15th.
Louis the 15th.
Yes.
All right. I can tell you that Louis the 17th was a little boy who died in the 80s that century. His father got killed in 1793 by guillotine. It was Louis the 16th.
Nice.
Nice.
We'll take it.
Well done. Oh, sprinkler dance. All right. After the fourth round... Score is 80 to 60. Chris and Chris are still in the lead. Round five begins with modern history.
Okay.
Last of the history questions. What was the name of the space shuttle that broke up over Texas during reentry in 2003, costing the lives of all seven astronauts on board?
Locked in.
Locked in.
Okay. He's locked in.
All right, so Mr. Haith, why don't you tell us your thoughts?
Well, there's, let me see, I believe there are six or seven shuttles. The Enterprise is the one that never actually went into space. The Challenger was the one that blew up in 86, and the Columbia was the one that went to pieces over Texas.
So you say what?
Columbia.
Columbia. Chris, do you agree with him?
Thankfully, yes.
Would you have gotten that by yourself?
I would have gotten that by myself, but anyway.
Carmella?
It was also the first space shuttle. It was Columbia.
Columbia is the correct answer. I forgot that Mr. Haith has a background in aviation, which he just showed right there.
Yes, he did. He flexed his aviation muscles.
He sure did.
Which is good, because the First Lady is quite space-worthy. She knows her space.
Space-worthy.
Yeah. Makes it sound like you're sailing her somewhere.
I meant space-worthy.
Worthy of her space?
On the final frontier.
I'm not taking up space. Yay.
All right. Before I get Chris in any more trouble.
I didn't think I was in trouble. I was trying to be nice.
Round five, question two. Your category is television. Police Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons is a nightmare of incompetence. What's his first name?
This isn't right, but I can't get his kid's name out of my head, and so I'm going to write down this other thing, so I'm locked in.
So probably what Carmella wrote was Ralph Wiggum, because that's the son's name. And Christy, any ideas what Chief Wiggum's first name is?
No clue. I'm actually not a big fan of The Simpsons. I'm one of the few. But I have no clue.
Okay. It's not a Wiggum at all.
No, but that was appropriate. That was good timing for it.
Well played.
All right. So Chief Wiggum. Thing is, I mean, they've said it quite a bit in the show. I'm pretty sure I've heard it a few times. And also part of me is trying to think that Jonathan's trying to give a clue in it by saying dim-witted.
He's just dim-witted.
Oh, he is. I'm not disagreeing. But
I didn't say dim-witted. Okay. Nightmare of incompetence is what I said.
Just trying to see if maybe he was finding a clue of some sort.
Old and compy Wiggum. Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
No, you're good. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. I don't know. For some reason, the name Stanley is coming up. So,
I love his comics.
I love his steamers.
So, if we're going to go ahead and say, unless you have a better answer, we'll go ahead and say Stanley. And
I got nothing.
All right, Stanley Wiggum.
Carmella?
You're right. I couldn't get Ralph Wiggum out of my head, but that's not what I wrote down.
Oh, okay.
I wrote down Arnie.
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 Well, you guys both had the last syllable right. His name is Clancy.
Clancy Wiggum.
Clancy Wiggum. Wow. And his son is Ralph, yes.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
What was the line about eating crayons?
I don't know, but I just remember, I bit my Wookiee.
There was a scene where Bart and Nelson are on the back of the bus and they're rolling fruit to race. And Ralph leans out and lays a banana down.
All right. Round 5, question 3. Your category is music videos.
All right.
The video for I Just Had Sex by The Lonely Island features cameos by what 2 female movie stars? And as a bonus, the chorus of the song is sung by what rapper, songwriter, and actor? That's all one person, by the way.
Yeah.
Locked in.
Wow, she flew through
the
that.
The bonus is 2 points, by the way.
I got you, okay. But you have to get the answer right to get the bonus.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm singing the song.
And dancing. Quite well, mind you.
Thank you.
I'm very familiar with the song.
Humble brag.
Don't think I've...
Did you see Julianne Hough do it on
my
Lip Sync Battle?
Phenomenal. The best part of that, however, is seeing how completely uncomfortable her brother is that she
just
was competing
Derek's
against
face
them
at the end.
It was priceless. And also the fantastic thing is I found out that was the very first episode of Lip Sync Battle they ever recorded.
Wow.
Yeah.
They knew they had a hit.
Oh, they really did. They knocked out of the ballpark. So, okay. So, Chris.
I've never actually, I don't recall seeing this video. I've seen the one, was it My Pants, which is probably one of the funniest music videos ever.
Just to see Andy Samberg's face.
And then It's Not Gay If It's a That's also pretty fun. But
D in the Box and
those weren't Lonely Island stuff though. That was Andy Samberg and Justin Timberlake.
Right. But it's still on the Lonely Island album. Lonely Island album.
It's easy, not easy to say, is it?
Right, yeah.
But so. I don't know, as far as like the rapper, songwriter, actor, I mean I don't know, would that be Timberlake?
No, it wasn't Timberlake. I know T-Pain did a bunch of stuff with them.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that was I'm on a boat that he did it with, or if that was I just had sex. So I would say the rapper's T-Pain, the actresses on it, I've got no idea. If he said if he said like there's the second one he did with Justin Timberlake, that was Susan Sarandon and Patricia Clarkson.
Mother Lover?
Yeah, Mother Lover. Yeah, thank you. Oh man, you can have some fun with just the Lonely Island. And I know Kel's listening to this episode screaming right now because he knows all this junk. But I don't know who the actresses are. I really don't. I mean, unless of course you just want to go like Scarlett Johansson and
Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, Natalie Portman was definitely in an SNL. I mean, a great SNL short. I don't know if you've ever seen, you need
the
to watch the
rap one.
Yes. I believe I put that on one of the show note ones back in the day when I actually did show notes. Yeah, so Natalie Portman, Scarlett Johansson, T-Pain is the rapper, and just tell us we're wrong right now.
So, you're wrong right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, Carmela, take us to school.
If you ever get a chance, one of my favorite Lonely Island videos is The Ballad of Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, it was fantastic.
With Michael Bolton.
Yes.
It was great. Jessica Alba and Blake Lively are the actresses, and Akon is the...
Akon.
Okay. Akon!
And Lonely Island.
The answers are Jessica Alba, Blake Lively, and Akon.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess T-Pain was I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah. Which was so funny.
By the way, I just had sex. That video is hilarious.
It is.
It is really funny.
That's from Chain and Turtleneck Sweater.
Yeah.
That was their second album.
And then the first album was Instabad?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Carmela did a little catching up there.
Yes.
Going into round six, it is 90 to 80. In Chris Squared's favor.
What bonus did she get?
Oh, sorry. 90 to 82.
Why do you hate me?
Why? What do you mean?
You weren't going to give me my bonus.
I forgot.
Oh, come on. You know him and math don't get along very well.
That's true.
Trust me. If I hated you, these questions would be completely different. All right. Round six, question one. Your first category is this and that. What word is both the name of a company that makes pencils, as well as a fort built in New York in the 18th century.
All right. I
locked
know this.
In.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, crap. Now comes the bad part where Chris can't pronounce things. So, Chris, I'm hoping you can help clean me up. It's Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga?
Yes. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a city in like upstate New York, I believe.
Okay.
Or a fort or whatever.
So can you, unless you have another answer, but I'm about 90, I'm really pretty sure that that's the answer.
Okay. We'll go with that then.
Can you say it for me, please?
Ticonderoga, I believe.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to listen to this.
All right. So you're saying Ticonderoga?
Yes, sir.
You said it right the first time.
Ticonderoga?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's exactly how you say that.
Occasionally happens.
So I immediately started writing down, as soon as you said these people make pencils, I wrote Ticonderoga.
Correct answer is Bic.
What?
No, he's kidding.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
The correct answer is Ticonderoga.
Fort Bic.
For you. I've been in Fort Ticonderoga
really?
Before, yes, as a young teen. All right. Impressed with you guys. Good job. Round six, category two is sports.
Sports.
Ugh.
John Tenta, better known to WWF fans as Earthquake, actually competed in what sport professionally before retiring to become a full-time sports entertainer? I will read it again. John Tenta, better known to WWF fans as Earthquake, actually competed in what sport professionally before retiring to become a full-time sports entertainer?
Chris, I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
Okay, go for it.
All right.
The only one I could think of is like Diesel and that
wait,
Kevin
wait,
Nash.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
You're not talking yet.
Sorry.
So.
Okay, do you want me to lock in or do you want me to...
Go for it.
Okay, I'm locked in then.
So, in addition to not watching a whole lot of sports, I don't really watch any wrestling either. Earthquake. So I would imagine he'd be a rather large gentleman. So there's different ways to play things professionally. You don't have to be in a league like NFL or MLB. So I want to say something like weightlifting. Is that too general?
That would not be too general.
Okay. I'm going to say weightlifting. Because
okay.
I have no idea. Like, not even a little bit. So weightlifting.
All right.
I believe he was a sumo wrestler.
Correct answer, sumo wrestling.
Nice.
Okay.
You had the right track. He was a very large fellow.
Yes, he was.
His finishing move used to be to jump up and down next to people and then sit on them.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's fake, but still, ow.
No, there's nothing fake about getting sat on by that dude.
Amen.
All right. Round six, category three, the Bible. And no groans out of it? No groans. Okay.
I'm excited, but I always get Bible questions
I'm
wrong.
I'm waiting for the lightning to hit me, honestly.
Here we go. Balaam's ass did something quite unusual. What was it? You know, I didn't realize how funny that was going to sound until after she started laughing.
Oh, oh, her response is priceless.
She's gone. She's not even near the microphone anymore.
Yeah. We're going to be a few minutes, folks.
That was unintentionally funny, by the way.
Do you have a tissue? She's going to be, she's kind of sobbing right now from laughing so hard. Chris, by the way, I think I know the answer to this. But
go for it.
All right.
I'll repeat the question.
I don't know if we need her.
Okay. Balaam's ass did something quite unusual. What was it?
Have you guys written something? Yes.
if Chris is okay, we're locked in.
Go for it.
All right, we're locked in. Oh, my. I don't think I've ever seen her go like this. Man.
Okay.
Wow.
Keep it together. Breathe in.
Balaam's ass.
Shut up, Christopher.
What about Balaam's ass?
It's not about the ass itself. It's about what it did that was unusual.
It's all about that bass. About that bass.
No, I just want to say it talked. Which it might have. I have no idea what it did. I have no idea. I'm going to assume that they mean ass in the term of the pack animal. So I'm going to say it spoke.
Okay. If it was not a pack animal, that would be even more amusing. Christopher, now, what did you say?
Unfortunately, there's been a lot of asses that spoke. Anyway, Balaam's ass spoke.
The answer is it talked.
Yes.
It turned around and said, "Why are you beating me?"
Okay, we're still going to need another minute.
Okay, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm okay.
I like her like this.
This is outstanding.
Oh, I had my hysterical moment. Now I'm very warm.
This is outstanding. I don't think I've ever seen you get this giddy. Have you?
No.
No, I'm pretty sure all of that is staying in the show.
She's held herself together way better than that before. All right. That was the end of the sixth round. The score going into the final, 120 for Chris Squared and 102 for Carmella. Your final category is history.
Oh, boy.
120 to 102.
Chris and mine's wager is locked in, Jonathan.
And so is mine.
All right. So your final question is in history. I'm going to name four events for you, and I want you to put them in order from the earliest to the most recent.
Okay.
The War of the Roses begins. Martin Luther nails his 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg. Joan of Arc is burned at the stake. Leonardo da Vinci paints the Mona Lisa. War of the Roses begins. Martin Luther, 95 Theses. Joan of Arc is burned at the stake. And Leonardo da Vinci paints the Mona Lisa.
I am wondering why Balaam's ass isn't in this question.
You're wondering why Balaam's ass isn't in every question.
Should be.
Picture Balaam bending over and using his hands to... Hello, my name is Mr.
It's like that scene in Ace Ventura.
Exactly.
Do you have a breath mint? Or maybe some banaca?
That's such a great joke.
It's what he says.
That's awesome. That's so yummy.
I'm just thinking that part he sings. Oh,
yeah. Oh, guys. Awesome.
I'm locked in.
All right. Carmella's in.
All right. How are you feeling about this question, Chris?
Well, I'm in the order I had 2, 1, 3, 4. I'm pretty sure Martin Luther nailed it. That was in the Dark Ages. I think that was before 1000 AD or around 1000. The War of the Roses begins. I had it 2, and then Joan of Arc at 3, and the Da Vinci at 4.
Well, I know for shout of doubt, Martin Luther was much later than that. Martin Luther was like 1595.
Really? Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was much later.
Okay.
I mean, biblical history wasn't my strength, even though I was a philosophy religion major. But, I mean, yeah, that part. I had it War of the Roses first because I thought that was like 14th or 15th century. I really thought that was in the 1400s. I had Da Vinci 2 for the Mona Lisa. 3 was Martin Luther. And then 4, Joan of Arc, I thought was like 1620. I'm not sure.
That was the 100 Years War, right?
I believe so, but I'm not 100% positive on that. But it's just I remember various things about her life, and I believe it was 1620. It was right around there. So, again, mine was 1, 3, 4, and 2. So we're really off on this.
Yeah, we are. Well, you studied religion. I did not. So I'm definitely not going to argue with you on that. So I'll go with your answer.
Well, do you have any other dates in mind for the other ones besides Martin Luther?
No, I was trying to I was trying to figure out which was first, the War of the Roses or the Hundred Years' War. Wasn't that Henry V in the Hundred Years' War?
Is that a Henry? I mean, is that Henry or is that Richard?
Let me see. It was Richard III was the last of the the Plantagenet kings, and I think it was like Henry VII became king after him, and then Henry VIII and Elizabeth on down.
The reason why I said that is because there's a play called The War of the Roses, which is it's like three of Shakespeare's plays and made into one. It was like Henry III, Henry IV, and Henry V. I think he did
right,
and so that's why. I'm saying Henry V would be War of the Roses. But again, yeah. Because, I mean, it could very well be that Mona Lisa was like the very first part of the 1600s. But
yeah,
that's
the wild card.
Yeah, it really is. Because I know Da Vinci was like late 1500s, 1620, 1630 or something like that. But it's just, I'm pretty sure Joan of Arc was fourth. That I'm feeling really confident in. I really want to say War of the Roses was first. It's just it's 2 and 3 that are kind of throwing me off a bit.
So you want to go 1, 3, 4, 2? Is that what you said?
That's what I originally wrote down. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. So Jonathan,
we'll go with that.
Okay. So 1, War of the Roses. 2, Da Vinci creating the Mona Lisa. 3, Martin Luther. 4, Joan of Arc.
Okay, Carmella.
All right. I was almost fairly certain that the Leonardo da Vinci one was last, but I could be wrong there. I thought Martin Luther happened relatively early, so I ended up putting that first. The only thing I was having a problem with was the Order of Joan of Arc and War of the Roses, because I really didn't know where Joan of Arc would go. So I ended up saying Martin Luther, Joan of Arc, War of the Roses, and Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Couple of quick notes for people who heard different facts and started saying, no, that's not right. Hundred Years' War ran from the mid to late 14th century into the middle of the 15th century. And Richard III was the last of the House of York, as well as the last Plantagenet. Joan of Arc, the years line up with the Hundred Years' War. 1431.
Oh, wow.
Burned at the stake. War of the Roses began in 1455, pretty much right after the Hundred Years' War ended. Leonardo da Vinci paints the Mona Lisa in 1503, and Martin Luther nails his 95 Theses on the door at the church in Wittenberg in 1517.
1517. Oh, man, I was off, but it's in the right century.
Your order was Joan of Arc, War of the Roses, Leonardo da Vinci paints the Mona Lisa, and Martin Luther in that order. All right, so your wagers.
Comes down to the wagers.
Comes down to wagers. So, Carmella, what did you wager?
So, I figured if I got this wrong, I wanted my score to be the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So, I wagered 60.
Carmelo wagers 60 and ends up with 42. Chris, Mr. Hollister.
Chris, would you like to tell him what we got and what we did?
We wagered 17 points. So, if we got it wrong, we were counting on her getting it wrong as well. So, well, we would be above her.
Hoping that she got it wrong as well.
Agreed. So
the final score, Chris and Chris finish with 103. Carmella finishes with 42. It is a C-squared victory.
Woo! Good job, guys.
That felt good.
Nice game, gentlemen.
Doing the dance. Doing the dance. Doing the dance.
Why didn't you let me record that dance, Chris?
Because it's not that good of a dance.
Oh, it was a fine dance. All right. So, well done, guys. It was a good game.
Thank you.
It was fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah. Good question, Jonathan.
I think we need to talk more about Balaam's ass, though.
What? You just want to see Carmella lose it some more?
I'm just saying. I think there's conversation to be had. Mm. Let's go ahead and talk about our Warhead of the Week this week.
All right.
I wonder who that's going to be.
Our Warhead of the Week is Mr. Christopher Haith.
Yay! Woo!
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you coming on, man. I hope you had a good time.
I had a blast. Absolutely had a blast. And I can't wait till I get to come on again. I really can't.
That's, and as a major, it's going to happen. Love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you for getting me through the commute that I did all those for 5 weeks. Awesome. Before I ran out of episodes.
Well, we love to do that.
All right. We are sitting at 120 reviews. Tell you what, we haven't gotten any reviews since the last episode.
Well, that is two hours ago.
Did you hit refresh?
That is depressing.
Did you hit refresh?
Yes, I hit refresh.
All right.
There's no refresh button, actually. We had a review from Mr. Coach Brown.
Hello, Mr. Coach Brown.
I like that name. It's like Mr. Coach Klein. Mr. Coach Brown says, discovered this podcast a few weeks ago. I've listened to almost every episode. I even used this podcast to quiz my academic team class. Highly recommend.
You love that, don't you, Jonathan?
I freaking
Jonathan
love
and I are,
that.
Are alumni of academic teams.
I was on Brain Brawl.
So was I.
Yes. So if you are in Mr. Coach Brown's class, you guys kick it.
Take names. Not necessarily in that order.
All right. We had a review by Derek Schroppel or Schreppel. Schroppel.
Derek.
Well, yeah, by Derek. Highlight of my week. This show is one of the highlights of my week. Me and my wife love listening. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
that's
Derek.
Awesome.
We had a review by Levi F. from Illinois. And Levi says, I just recently started listening to this podcast. I have been binge listening to the show ever since I found it. What a great show with super knowledgeable people. I just don't understand when people say that. It's obviously wrong.
Oh, you don't think you're super knowledgeable?
No.
Not even a little bit?
This show really does a good job of humbling you.
Yep. It does. It really does.
I appreciate the laughs and the fun I've had listening to it. The guys are the best. I go to school full-time and have about an hour commute to my clinical site every day. Then I work 4 days a week at a job that allows me to listen to music. I prefer the podcast to music. I try to listen to at least one podcast every morning with these guys. What a great show. Keep up the good work. Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Levi. And then our last review. This is the last one I can read until we get more. Vague Circle 7 says, I work overnights and you guys keep me up. So thank you for that. But since I've never beaten you in a game, if I'm being honest, I have tried. I feel like I should leave you with a supervillain laugh. P.S. Team Carmella. LOL.
Of course.
Well played.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
All right. Before we wrap it up, this is the part of the show where I would typically give a shout out to any promotions in the TWA. We have no new promotions this week. No one has signed up to donate. So I just want to take this time out and say thank you to everyone who is supporting the show financially. You guys are the lifeblood of the show. You mean the world to us, and I just want to say thank you. So thank you, and thank you. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Oh, and don't forget, we have t-shirts on sale right now at teespring.com/stores/trivial-warfare-apparel. All right, now let's wrap it up.
All right, well, Chris, thank you very much for joining us,
thank
sir.
You, Chris.
We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
Hope you had a little bit of fun.
I had a lot of fun, man. It was really
you
nice
got to
meet
see
you guys.
My complete meltdown.
Yeah, nobody else has seen that.
That was
you got to witness it.
That was yes, the final meltdown.
It's the final meltdown.
Jonathan, great job on the questions. As I slowly get weeded into asking questions, I know how hard it is. So great job, man. And Carmella, well, better luck next week.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I ended up with 42. That's really all I wanted.
There you go. I want the win. And I got it.
We got the win.
So, exactly.
You guys had to hang on for dear life because she was coming after you.
She was. No doubt. But I expect nothing less from her. I really don't. So, if you need to get a hold of Jonathan, you can do that by by emailing him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you'd like to get a hold of the First Lady, you can do that by emailing her at twafirstlady@gmail.com. Again, that's twafirstlady@gmail.com.
And follow her on Twitter at twafirstlady. First Lady.
What he said. Anyway, and if you have a Warm It Up Chris question like Andrew, please email it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com.
That's great question, Andrew.
Yes.
And again, that's warmingupchris@yahoo.com. And until next time, that's Chris, that's Jonathan, that's Carmella, and I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at joelsharpton.com.
All right, so CNC Music Factory.
Oh, there you go. Or, gonna make you sweat till you bleed.
Or Chris Squared, as you will come to be called.
I was just wondering, is this like, is it going to like overload because this team is nothing but sexy bald men? I mean, I'm just, you know can Trivial Warfare handle this much sexy?
That's I don't think you can handle this.
The CNC sexy factory. You're not ready factory, for this, that's where we are, brother.
Oh, man.
It's going to be over here.
We have a sexy bald Chris overload.